Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaw.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
And many people can relate. I'm sure you probably had your own experiences too. Like sometimes you just need to know that you belong. Sometimes you need to look over and see somebody that you can relate to doing and aspiring towards something that you also aspire towards that can really keep you going. That's the intangible part, because it's not always about capability or talent or intelligence. Sometimes it's just about a sense of belonging.
Turn this up. Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferranby, aka CrowdPaw, and welcome to CrowdPaw Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're just listening to this episode, you can also watch it on YouTube. Regardless, if you're listening or watching this episode, thank you so much for your support. Today, I have the honor of having Dr. Nehemiah Mabry, PE, aka Dr. Nee, on the show. He's an engineer, educator, and entrepreneur, do it all, based in Raleigh, North Carolina. His technical expertise includes 15 plus years as a NASA researcher, bridge design engineer, and adjunct professor. So that was just a little bit about you, Dr. Nee, but how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
No doubt. Paul, thank you for having me. Super happy to be on the platform. You know, I like to say that I am a technical creative, just kind of stemming from what you said about my career. I've worked in engineering, as you just stated, but also I've done a lot of things creatively, right? In school, I did a lot of improv drama. I'm a musician, played the bass guitar. And that really fueled the desire to start STEM Media, which was, you know, really a combination of both my technical and creative backgrounds in an effort to get more people engaged, educated, and empowered in areas of STEM. So that's what I am in terms of my career and my profession. But the thing that I'm most proud of, I would say, at the core of me, is that I'm a husband and a father of three wonderful young ladies. So.
Awesome. So yeah, husband and father, three ladies. So yes. I'm sure they keep you busy and they tell you who's in charge.
All day, man. I have three girls. I'm a girl dad times three, and which means that they have control of all branches of government in this home. When you throw my wife in there. And so I'm just trying to be a good citizen.
No. I love the passion around the family as well, just understanding what's important to you. That's really good. So I guess with that, like knowing that you are a husband and you have three daughters as well, how are you able to kind of to balance all the things that you do?
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy for sure. So I had a passion for entrepreneurship kind of in school. I knew at one point I was going to start my own company and really go all in on it. But at the same time, studying engineering, a very demanding career, did not just undergrad, but a master's and then a bachelor's, then a PhD in structural engineering. It was always kind of a lot, right? But I think being able to balance comes down to, one, having clarity on what you're trying to accomplish. You know, for me, I want to be an inspirer and create content that's not just about, you know, me as a personal brand, but one that kind of houses various stories that can speak to various people in the community about STEM. But having clarity allows you to not only know what to try to do, but to what to say no to as well. So being clear, kind of narrowing your focus as best as possible. And then even with that, it's still difficult because you're still trying to run a business. You're still trying to advance in your profession. Having a understanding partner is extremely important as well, right? Someone who is able to hear your vision and your clarity and then say, you know, I support that. So yeah, shout out to my wife, shout out to my girls who are always kind of filling up my motivation when they think the things I'm doing is cool as well. So
that's really cool. I like how you mentioned the clarity about what to do and even what not to do, because I think it's really easy and just the stuff that we surround ourselves. I mean, social media is all around us and there's so many things that we could potentially be doing. And
yep.
I know I get caught up in like, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? But having that clarity is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Clarity is key. And I think a lot of times the lack of clarity shows up sometimes in the frustration of our own decisions. And here's what I mean by that. Like, when we find ourselves bogged down and stuff, it's much better when you can say, okay, I'm bogged down in this, but this contributes to this, which then feeds into that, which then is going to contribute to that. But when you don't have that, man, it's kind of a almost a self-defeating feeling there when you're like, why am I bogged up in this again? Wait a minute, this has nothing to do with the vision. Wait, what did I say yes to this? You know, and this next thing you know, you're just kind of like wasting time. Ultimately, wasting time and energy. And so clarity allows one to kind of like at least avoid, or should I say the other way around, always have sort of an undergirding why for the things you're doing, which when it gets difficult, it's extremely needed.
Yeah, that's really important. Having that why, having that vision.
Yeah.
This is incredible leadership, and leadership, having a vision, having a strong why is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So asking you, what is the why behind what you do with STEM Media and everything?
Yeah. So my why has a lot to do with one of my favorite quotes that it goes, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it. I think I've said it so many times, it's probably no longer as verbatim, but the best investment in one's life is in something that will outlive it. Right.
Yeah.
And what I see in that is that ultimately there is a desire for me to know what I want, and to know, you know, what I'm good at, who I am, what I want. But then the why has to do with the fact that ultimately I don't believe that I'm just put on this earth to just get all I can all I get and sit on that can. But ultimately there are people that are going to be inspired to move humanity forward and to do great things and to really actualize their potential because of whatever I create. And so I think about that in terms of anybody, but also, again, going back to my girls, like, when I first got this vision, I had no idea who they were. I'd never met them. They weren't born, right? But now that I see their faces, I'm able to say, man, I'm glad that I at least laid a foundation. Even when I didn't know who you all were. I didn't know your smile, your laugh. I didn't hear you say daddy and run to me. But now you are living and building your life on a foundation in some respects that I was able to build prior to meeting you, so to speak. In that same way, there's some people that will come later on in my life, and there's some people that will come even when my time is over, that will be able to do great things on the foundation and the purpose that I was able to aspire towards in my work. And so that's my why. That's my why. Building something or investing my life in something that will ultimately outlive it.
That's an incredible why. Just really being forward focused to that, what you're building now. Like that perfect example with your girls, that you were building something for them before you even knew that they would ever exist.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I didn't even know their names. You know, I didn't know any of this stuff. I didn't know that I would have three girls. Who knew I would have been a triple platinum girl doll? You know, I'm thankful that I am. But again, just knowing that we don't know what is to come, but what we can't control is what we do today. And tomorrow we'll have remnants of what we do today.
I love that. Yeah. Tomorrow we'll have remnants of what we do today. And so that's a lot of times that I talk about, and then so many people on the show talk about it too, is just being intentional with what they're doing.
Yep.
Because whether you are intentional with life or you allow life happen to you, it's, there's a difference. And the most successful people are the ones that are really intentional. I can tell by what your vision and your why that you're very intentional.
Yeah, I try to be. Thank you for that, Paul. Appreciate it. This podcast is very intentional too. I've been able to check out a lot of your episodes and people you've had on, and I see that you're very intentional about, you know, the route and the guests that you invite. So for one to another, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Well, I want to take a step back a little bit, because we talked a little bit about your journey, different career paths you took.
Yeah.
And then right now what you're doing is STEM Media. So I guess my question for you is that, did you always know STEM was something you wanted to do? And like, how did you get into STEM as a structural engineer and all these other paths that you took?
Yeah. That's a good question. So STEM, the acronym term, I didn't even know what that term was until later on, right? But I knew that I used to like things like inventing stuff. I know I used to like cartoons that show like Mastermind, Tom and Jerry, or Tom trying to, you know, build this contraption, and, you know, Dexter's Laboratory, you know, Bill Nye the Science Guy, all those little things. I know that those things attracted me. I knew inventor as a career, but I didn't really know engineering. Maybe I knew scientists, but it was ultimately when I got into high school and that I had the opportunity to apply to this NASA program, this NASA high school apprenticeship program, that the doors or my eyes were open to this field of engineering. I credit my pops for really putting the plan in the seed, my dad. And then when I went into this program, that's when I was like, oh man, this is great. This is what, you know, rocket science is built on, right? Engineering. This is what allows us to do and build, you know, skyscrapers and to, you know, the wonders of the world. It all is built on this idea of engineering. And so really having this desire to do this, but as I mentioned earlier, this creative, inspirational sort of motif in who I was, it led me to saying, hey, STEM is the way. STEM is it, right? When it became, you know, an acronym that I was aware of. And so that's my really story getting into it. It wasn't always easy, not always a straight line, not like, oh, I already knew I was a kid, but you know, you see things that you're interested in. As a young person, I like to say, you know, you do want to identify what you naturally gravitate to. You know, what are the things you do that seem to pass time so quickly, right? Because that means that, you know, you have a passion for it, affinity for it. But then look at where that overlaps with what you're naturally good at, what you're also pretty good at, the skills you have, your strength. And math was something that, I didn't always say I liked, but I did perform pretty well in. I was significantly above average. And when I identified that, I didn't run from it anymore.
So that's good that you talked about like what you are naturally good at and what you like and how that intersects. Because I think it's easy to like over index. I'm like, oh, I'm really good at something, but I hate it. Or I like something, but I'm not that good at it. But just talking about the intersection between the two is really good.
Absolutely. I think one of the things, other factor too, of course, being that we live in a world where, you know, money is a instrumental tool, right? A very important tool, you know, economically, that's also made economic sense. Because when you see what you're good at, what you enjoy, you also want to then look at, you know, do people need it? Is there a market for it? Engineering, STEM in general, is what our economy is largely based on. I think it's about 69%, almost 70% of our GDP, recently reported, has been contributed to STEM, right? So when you look at that, there is a market for this as well. And so I think that's an additional factor that should help guide people in terms of what they choose to invest their life in.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can do a lot of things, but if you aren't getting paid to do it,
you know what I mean?
It makes it pretty hard to keep doing
it. It is hard to keep doing it. It's sustainability, you know? It's definitely important.
That's really important. I guess talking about STEM, and I know you've done a lot of stuff in this space, like really encouraging young people in STEM. I mean, you're thinking back, you didn't mention it, but I know you had the STEM Success Summit as well. So I guess, what are some things about STEM when you come across young people that maybe are some misconceptions about it, or maybe things that they're not aware of?
Misconceptions about it. That's a good question, because I think that honestly, I would say kudos to everybody who's taken on the STEM banner and pushes it, because I think there's been a great job of showing that, hey, you don't have to see yourself as a math person, right? You can learn certain skills, or STEM doesn't always involve whatever you may have had the most exposure to. That's not the only thing, right? It's not just you know, you being a biologist, or it's not just you, you know, being civil engineer, right? Like it's very broad. So I wouldn't even say that's a misconception anymore. But what I would say is a lot of people can forget the fact that the careers, the STEM careers that exist today, will probably alter as the future comes, right? There are going to be new careers. There are going to be careers that were big now that aren't as big later. And there's an evolving need for it. And so what the underpinnings of it, which is the STEM, the science, technology, engineering, math, the ability to use those subjects and to critically think with them to solve problems, that's going to continue on. But the way that is manifested, you know, we're talking about at this point, people are talking about, you know, prompt engineering and all these things and AI and obviously changing the way that it is applied, right, in the world. But if someone thinks beyond the now and says, all right, let me get as good at, and let me identify my strengths to get good with the toolbox of STEM, if I'm in school, if I'm a student right now, and then also have a good idea of what I enjoy, of course, and all that, it may not look exactly the same by the time you graduate. It may not look the same 10 years after you graduate as when you first graduated. So that's something that I think is often probably overlooked.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you brought that because I think AI is like a great example. It's been around in some form for a while, but it's definitely exploded over the last few years.
Sure.
And really just understanding that what we see as STEM or even like a career path, like what the major, and I talk to students about this all the time, that the major you get in STEM does not dictate what you have to do long term. Yeah,
totally.
Because a lot of times they'll say like, well, I'm an engineer or I'm a scientist or I'm like studying computer science. Like I have to do this specific thing. I'm like, yeah, now your first job might be in that that's what the requirements are. But from there on, it's really the experiences you get and what you're passionate about that you can build on.
Totally. You know, I just thought about that too. And like, I like to tell students when I'm speaking to them too, that people aren't necessarily paying you just for a title that you hold. People are going to pay you because you're solving a problem in some way, shape, or form. So you're getting this education so that you ultimately can go in the marketplace and solve a problem. And that problem is the value that you're adding to that organization, that's adding it to a certain industry, that's ultimately contributing to some grand challenge in society. And so when you realize that you are ultimately a problem solver and that these things are tools to solve problems, you will always be able to identify the value you bring, whether or not the title is exactly what your major was, you know?
Yeah, so that's a good point. Being a STEM and being a problem solver definitely go hand in hand.
Yep. Totally.
I think you can say the same thing about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like a lot of people in STEM make the best entrepreneurs just because I feel like with STEM solving problems and entrepreneurs, they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. You know what? So I have interesting thoughts on that too. In entrepreneurship that I've been able to experience over the last several years, you know, working for myself, starting my own company, keeping it alive. It does. There does seem to be a hand in hand relationship between entrepreneurship and STEM. And I think that relationship has a lot to do with our ability to identify problems and solve problems. Because then, you know, you think about it at the end of the day, whether it's a problem of boredom, whether it's a problem of convenience, whatever the problem is, that is ultimately what's driving people to buy things in the marketplace. That's why we hire companies. That's why we stop at gas stations. Like all those things are in efforts to solve a problem for the client or for the customer. The area that I think that people in STEM and individuals may have as a blind spot, though, in entrepreneurship is the money part, though, right? Mm-hmm. And the part about systematizing a business so that there is some sort of predictable or some semblance of a predictable cash flow. You're budgeting in a way to where you're not spending all of your money on the production of the goods and services, but you have the overhead to be able to manage some of the accounting and some of the other expenses outside of the direct costs, right? I think those are areas that people in STEM would need to become more acquainted and educated on. Marketing, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
You know, our problems in STEM come ready-made, and it's like when we get our word problem, no one ever asks how are people going to know this is the solution once we solve it? Right? How are people going to know where to find this and where to buy it? How are people going to stop using whatever they're currently using as a solution? Or why would they stop using what they're currently using as a solution and come to the one that we just wrote down on the paper as a solution, right? Those are the things that I feel like people in STEM could use additional knowledge and support in when it comes to entrepreneurship. And so, yeah, to your point, man, there is that relationship when it comes to finding products and services. But to build out the business, I think there are even more things that we in STEM could stand to benefit from gaining.
Now that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up, especially with the marketing piece. I think that's something I'm definitely continuing to learn and develop in, because
absolutely
my STEM brain, mm-hmm. and sometimes just like the solution is just right there, but it's like you need to present it in a way that people want to receive it.
Right. Let's say, like, if you're the best cake maker in the world but nobody knows you exist, you're gonna be poor, right? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed, or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipaul.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
You know, and so, and that's why I've come to respect some of the other disciplines, marketing disciplines, even just something as straightforward as a CEO, administrator, someone who is making it their business to assemble talented individuals and create an organization of those individuals and systems to repeatedly produce outcomes and products for individuals. Like, that in and of itself is skill outside of just doing the work itself. And so when you want to make sure that you have a successful business, those skill sets are also important as well. So again, shout out to the people who may have changed from STEM to business or went a different route. We see your value. We see your value as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a tremendous amount of value. I know, like, definitely in college, there's kind of a rivalry between the two.
Yeah.
But I definitely see the value. Yes. For sure.
Totally.
That's good. Well, I want to dive deeper into some of the stuff you're doing with STEM Media, because I know you're doing a lot of incredible things. So if you can talk more about what you're doing and what's that look like the last several years.
Yeah. So yeah, any particular question? I mean, we've done, as a high level, STEM Media, we are ed tech and media production company, meaning that we have produced shows, podcasts, series, media, predominantly on behalf of higher ed institutions or organizations that are looking to inspire, engage, attract, and empower in STEM. So case in point, PBS, right?
Yeah, I know
for a number of educational content. We've been able to do a number of shows for PBS. We just recently wrapped up something called Building Stuff with Nova, which is a PBS brand out of Boston, known for their science documentaries. We were able to do a very interactive show, live stream series over the past several months that was all about engineering and utilized an escape room, which is all about puzzles and solving things as a way to engage and teach engineering. So that's the production house. That's kind of the core, the bread and butter, of our business. But beyond that, we are also a platform building a community that allows for aspiring STEM professionals to have access to mentorships, networking opportunities, and careers that, again, leverages or is enabled by, you know, technology in different ways. And so that we feel is a huge value for not only the individuals in STEM, but the people who are looking for a more robust and diverse workforce.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So I guess I didn't realize all of that stuff was wrapped under STEM Media.
Yeah.
I saw the show several different shows you guys have been on.
Yeah.
PBS. And I know you have a podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know all of that was wrapped under STEM Media.
Yeah. I like to think of it as kind of like three components. You know, we have STEM Media Studios, which is like the production house. STEM Media Experience, which is a lot of the live or the event-based stuff, which is like the STEM Success Summit you mentioned and workshops and things. Yeah, and so I do a lot of speaking as well. But then there's the STEM Media Network, which is where we have our eye on over the horizon. So ultimately, we think that there's a value to be had, again, of a network that isn't just on a project basis of just producing shows, but also a place that is housing, just a very high quality pool of talent that is synergized, but also, you know, accessible for those who need it.
the accessibility of peace is huge.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, especially in underrepresented communities, there's not a lot of people that look like them that are doing the work. So that's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're all about. And I think that is one of the things that, you know, after going through the rigors of an academic journey in engineering, and many people can relate, I'm sure you probably had your own experiences too. Like, sometimes you just need to know that you belong. Sometimes you need to look over and see somebody that you can relate to doing and aspiring towards something that you also aspire towards that can really keep you going. That's the intangible part, because it's not always about capability or talent or intelligence. Sometimes it's just about a sense of belonging.
Yeah, sense of belonging is so huge. It fuels a lot of the passion I do around my nonprofit, Nala STEM, that I've talked about a few times on the podcast.
But yeah.
Just about uniting, supporting, and build community among all historically excluded peoples in STEM.
Yeah.
And a lot of it came from some of the work I'd done with when I was in college, and it just came out of it. And honestly, it was kind of like by accident, and then just kept going with it. And like now 4 years later, we're trying to do it, and then going to be hosting our first in-person conference next year. So
nice. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
You got to make sure I get the info.
Yeah, I'll definitely loop you in for sure.
Cool, man. Are you in terms of your, and I know I'm just asking you a question now, you got me on the show, but
go for
in terms of where you're going with, I also see a lot of a theme that's recurring. And again, it's even in the name of your show, like leadership. As you continue to work with a lot of different leaders, what is kind of like the North Star or the vision for, you know, this knowledge community that you've been building?
Yeah. So the North Star definitely is for empowerment and all about. So I say it's Incredible Paul's mission, but I feel like it's my life mission is empowering young professionals in STEM to become the most incredible version of themselves.
Yeah.
And so I think right now it's been focused on leadership and personal growth, but I do have other aspirations. I know it's not only those things. I think even like the financial aspect of things, like maybe longer term, I'll dive into it because there's some stuff I've been doing and working on.
Yeah.
But kind of making it almost like an enterprise of different things and making sure that these young professionals in STEM are empowered.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's good. And I can see that. I can feel that. And I'm thankful to be able to be one of the voices that's contributed to that through this platform.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're a very big voice. You've been doing this for a long time. I know all the stuff with the STEM Success Summit, which I don't know if that's going to be coming back, but I know that you've done a lot of great work there, a lot of great speakers. I know Justin, on a previous episode, we talked a little bit about it. But there's been a lot of work that you have done, and it's inspirational for me because I was seeing that stuff even as I was starting the beginning of my journey to see people like you doing what you're doing. It's a huge honor to have you on the show.
Absolutely, man. And I'll say this about the STEM Success Summit, and even as I mentioned, STEM Media Experience, kind of department or division of our business. I think John Hope Bryant said that it's possible to do well and to do good, right? You want your business to do well financially, to do well in terms of its sustainability, just kind of be around. But you don't have to choose between that and doing good in the community and producing events and content. Because, you know, oftentimes we can kind of feel like, oh, you know, we can't really make money. Let's just focus on building people. And like, yes, you should focus on building people and building community. But, you know, I want to be in a place to where it's not just we do it until we can't do it no more because we didn't have a sustainable model. I want to continue to make sure that inside of STEM Media is that opportunity to do well financially and to do good through the efforts like the STEM Success Summit.
That's really critical, just to do well and do good and to do well.
Yeah.
Because I think you can, it's really easy to over index on one or the other.
Yes, totally. Totally. Yeah.
And I think there's this, excuse me, this whole idea of money being a multiplier. I think sometimes people think money is a bad thing, which money is never a bad thing. Money just makes you more of the person you already are. Yep. So if you're someone that is doing good for the community, more money is going to help you do more for the community. If you're someone that just keeps it for yourself, you just have more money to keep for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that we need more good people to be millionaires. We need more good people to have money. Because even if you are, which I think is wrong, but even if you're of the belief that, you know, rich people are greedy or wealthy people are only looking out for themselves, well, why don't you become one of the people who are wealthy that aren't just looking out for themselves, right? Exactly. Become one of the wealthy people that isn't greedy, that's also looking for ways to elevate other people. Because the way that we change the narrative, and let's just face it, right? In our community, there's a wealth gap. There is, there's a situation where we are far more dependent upon the resources of others than we should be, really. Not saying that we should be exclusionary or completely isolated in our endeavors, but if we always have to ask for someone else's permission, the moment someone else doesn't agree with, say, our diversity, equity, and inclusion, which, you know, has been a highly debated topic recently, whenever people have an issue with that, then resources are cut off. And then what happens, right? The services, the programming, the focus, the drive, the initiatives are stalled at the very least. And so that's why we do need people who have values to also have money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. No, definitely. Yeah. Heavy on that. The people that having the values also having the money so that we can continue to do this good work and not having to rely on some government funding or government grants to get it done.
Yeah, and we're still going to go after those, right? We're still going to leverage those, right?
Yeah,
but no, I got you. We're together. We're totally together because I think that's just where, to your point, sometimes is we're over-indexed on in one direction. And I think it's wrong to, even if, let's say, for instance, your organization is primarily solely about getting grants, I don't think we should demonize those who are in the for-profit space, right? Or if your is more community focused, but someone else is more productized and they're trying to get their sales up. Like if they are also individuals who share that value, we should realize that ultimately we're in the same work. But we may have different focuses and bandwidths in our work.
Yeah. So that's so key because I feel like maybe you feel differently. I think a lot of times in our community, it's really easy to demonize people who are for profits versus a nonprofit just because they chose that route.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're doing the same work. We could do a lot better if we combined, we tried to collaborate on different things as opposed to like pointing fingers and saying they're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a waste of time, really. It's easier to criticize than to create. That's why so many people do it. But we need more people creating and building.
Yeah. No, that's good. So talking about creating and building, as far as what you can share, because I know there's probably so many things that you're working on with shows, it's STEM media. Are there things maybe you're currently working on or about to work on that you're really excited?
Yeah. You know what? You're right. Like, I can't always say all the details, but we are working on more shows. So we're always pitching digital series and TV shows, right? So when we have the opportunity to have the ears of more and more people that say, hey, you know, here's what we produce. Why don't we do another series that sort of has this angle, that has this type of theme to it, right? So we'll put together pitches. We have some in the works right now, some partnerships in the works too, as on the production side. But also beyond that, want to continue to invest in our own technology enabled network, right? So the ability to have, you know, original IP, original content and programming that elevates and empowers young professionals in STEM, but also allows them to network with each other and be matched or at least presented with career opportunities that are best for them and corporations. So building out sort of that platform, what that looks like, obviously, you know, the traditional network or the traditional Netflix model or things of that nature. If you start thinking about combining those platforms with the career orientations of like a LinkedIn, for instance, right? I think there's a lot of opportunity when it is also niche within, you know, underrepresented STEM pools.
Oh, that's really powerful. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the vision. We've considered, you know, raising money in the near future as well for that particular effort. And so those are some of the things that are in the works.
Yeah. Raising money is something I'm always trying to get better at. I know there's a lot of things I'm good at. Fundraising is not one of those things. Mm-hmm. So I lean on other people for that and constantly trying to figure out how to do better at it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that goes back to, again, someone having the skills in STEM to actually make and build. But someone else probably have the skills in selling, right? Mm-hmm. And persuasion. Like, that's where, you know, either the leader can become better in that if you have that potential, or you can work with other people who share the value but can't build like you build. Oh, but they'll do a fire presentation, right? And get you inspired.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe. That's good. Well, we've been going for a while, but I want to make sure, is there anything that we haven't talked about yet, either for yourself personally or what you do building in STEM that you want to talk about before we wrap things up?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I do a lot of speaking. I'm a keynote speaker.
Yeah.
I have opportunities to speak at teacher associations. I have opportunities to speak at colleges, universities, college students, graduate students. Also some corporate trainings and things of that nature, which I've been a part of, things that I do, which I really enjoy. I do happen to have an affinity for speaking as well and like communicating, which is always good. And I don't think I will ever stop, though it's not necessarily the main thrust of my business. I enjoy, even this week, I have something lined up, speaking at a STEM teachers conference here in North Carolina. So I do a number of those things. So if anybody's watching and they're looking to book someone that is able to shine a shared perspective as an entrepreneur, as a STEM professional, engineering, of course, and an educator, that is something I do. And then, I just always want to tell people that they can connect with me, whether it's formally or informally, across the internet. At Nehemiah Mabry is my handle. On all platforms, Instagram, you know, X, you name it, at Nehemiah Mabry. And then STEM Media on YouTube is where we're looking to put out more content as well in the future. Podcasts, interviews like these exist there. Some of our shows that we have the ability to kind of host on our own platform exist there. Other workshops and live streams are all about what you would see on STEM Media's brand. Again, as we build our own sort of network in the process.
Yeah, it's really cool what you have been able to build with STEM Media. Like, it really truly is a network, whether you are creating shows or producing other shows or the stuff you do with the podcast, live streaming.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible for sure.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you are truly a leader in this space, really around creating STEM content and really inspiring people in STEM, whether it's through the content specifically or through your speaking, through conferences. And so you already shared about how people stay connected with you, but for everyone who's been listening or watching the show so far, like, I hope you are inspired by Dr. Nee's story and what he's done and what he's continuing to do. Because I really like all you've done a lot, but I can tell that there's a lot more that you want to do.
Yeah.
That maybe you can't share right now, but I'm excited to see what it is.
Yeah. A whole lot more. The best is yet to come. And continuing to realize that there is so much more that can come from our lives and our work. Of course, we want to make sure we take care of ours and we're good. Our family is good and things of that nature. But I believe there's also an opportunity to invest in something that will outlive you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that mission, that vision that you have, investing in the future, for sure. Mm-hmm. I love it. So, for everyone listening, you heard it here. Like, think about something that you can do now that will outlive you. Like Dr. Nee's modeling it. There's so many incredible things you did with STEM Media, even from when you were in college to now. Like, your path doesn't always look like what you thought it was going to look like at the beginning. I think that's been the running theme of the show and why I continue to have people on, because I think it's really easy to think one thing when you're an 18-year-old in college, yeah. and then 4 years later, it looks totally different.
Totally different.
Or 8 years later, if you go eight to 10 years later, if you go to PhD route, and just being comfortable with being uncomfortable and exploring your passions is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul, I appreciate it, man. No, this is good. This is good. Thank you.
No, I appreciate you making the time. Like I said, I know you're a busy man, lots of things you can be doing, but it means a lot that you made time to be on the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Awesome. So everyone else, hope you enjoyed this conversation. I know I did. Just whatever you learn from it, do something, whether it's taking the time to figure out where your creative space is or just challenging like even what your career aspirations are. And if you just take the time, take the effort, you can truly be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredible Paul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredible Paul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incrediblepaul.org/merch, incrediblepaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredible Paul look.